Hey friends, welcome to the Next Step Leadership Podcast, a conversation dedicated to helping you make your next step your best step. I'm Tracy Reynolds, and my partner for the Next Step journey is Chris Maxwell. Together we hope to inspire, assist, and create the confidence you need to take your next step in your personal growth, spiritual growth, vocation, or even your calling. Thanks for joining us. Well, come on, let's dive into this week's episode of Next Step Leadership.
Hello again to all those who are listening to Next Step Leadership Podcast. Chris Maxwell and Tracy Reynolds enjoying these conversations. Tracy, talk to us about our guest today.
Well, we are pleased to have for the second week Beth Irwin with us. Beth is a dear friend. She's a partner in ministry, and she's part of my flock in the Grace Fellowship Madison. And you began telling a beautiful story. I told you guys she's a fantastic storyteller, but this is her story. And man, I tell you, when you started, it was painful, though I knew what was coming next. It was hard. It was hard for me to keep some composure going, but I know where it's going. Yeah. So I'm excited about that. So we want to pick up where we left off. Great. And you just dive back in. Welcome back, Beth.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, we left off with the Lord using a very unlikely me to make a profound impact in someone else's life. And I really can't belabor that point enough. I was living such that I actually remember there was someone in the office, they used to call him the Bible thumper, and I didn't know what a Bible thumper was. Somebody had to explain it to me. And I heard him over the partition. He was trying to witness to her, and she was saying, "Hey, yeah, I know these things. I know these things." He would say, "How do you know these things?" She'd say, "Well, Beth told me." He'd say, "Well, how does Beth know these things?" "Oh, Beth's a Christian." He'd go, "No, get out of town. Beth can't be a Christian." "No, she really is." And so finally, and they don't know I can hear them. And so they decide that they're going to come over and ask me so she can prove to him that I'm a Christian. I think I might have failed the test, you know, for him, because they come over and he says, "Hey, Beth, you know, she says that you know Jesus. Are you really a Christian?" I said, "Damn straight." And so he had a real hard time believing that I was actually a Christian. That, you know, plus probably a few other things, but... I was not a likely candidate, and that's the thing, that no matter who you are, what you've done, what you're doing, God can and will use you.
That's right. That's right.
You might not be the best person to talk to the President of the United States, but you may just be the best person to talk to the cashier behind the register. Mm-hmm. The guy behind the shopping cart, you are the right person. And you don't have to have all your stuff together to be that way. And so I really hope that through my story that people can grab hold of that and be emboldened to go out. And that's why I wrote the book.
Well, let's go there. Your book's called Wander No More: Stepping Out of the Wilderness into Abundant Life. Now, first thing, you got to tell me about that title. I love it. So why did you start this whole, how did this book come about? I know you were in school. I know it started as a project, but I think it was more than that.
It was a lot more than that. People would always say to me, "Beth, you need to write a book." Now, Pastor Tracy, don't you dare laugh at this next thing I'm going to say. But I would think, well, it'd be great, but I don't have anything to say. See, he's trying not to laugh because he knows I'm very talkative.
And we love that about you, Beth.
But I really didn't feel like I had anything book-worthy to say. But I did not realize that through the pain and hardship of my life that I had embraced death. That didn't seem, if you would have told me, I would have corrected you and explained to you that no, I had never tried to commit suicide. I was kind of good on that front. But that's the problem, that we don't understand that the Lord says, "I put before you life and death, blessing and curse." And here's the God that we serve. He said, "Do me a favor, choose life. I want to bless you." That's our Father's heart towards us. He wants to bless us. But so life is an actual choice. And oftentimes, without realizing it, we inadvertently embrace death.
Right.
Because we don't like parts of our life. For me, I was very skinny. And people called me toothpick and chicken legs. And so I was real popular after lunch in middle school because everybody wanted, you know, to get the chicken out between their teeth. All they needed was one of my ankles. And in middle school, that's terrible, right? I mean, that's awful. True. But so I didn't like my body. I felt like I had been short-sheeted because other little girls didn't live the painful life that I did. They didn't have to go through. And I had decided that God created me to absorb the ugly so these things didn't happen to good little girls. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't know why I couldn't have been born a good little girl. But sometimes you just, that's the luck of the draw, mm-hmm. right? That's what you think when you're a child. And so through these things of just hating the life that I was living and hating the body that I was living it in, I didn't realize that I was rejecting the life that God gave me. And therefore, by default, embracing death. Now, clearly that didn't mean that I was going to get run over by a freight train. But let me tell you something. I had no idea what the meaning of joy was.
Yeah.
You don't embrace death and experience joy. I had no idea that I had a purpose, mm-hmm. that my life mattered. So, I mean, I wasn't miserable 24/7.
Right, gotcha. Yeah, but you were living beneath your privilege.
Exactly.
You were living not up to what God had already done for you. So, and I get it. In that part of it, you were living less than rather than fully. The abundant life was like, well, nowhere on the radar screen, right?
Right, exactly. And again, God using the most unlikely of people. I actually first heard about this problem of mine on a Blackfeet Indian reservation. I had gone there to minister to them, and there was a guy that kept staring at me all the time. He followed me everywhere I went, staring at me. And it was kind of disconcerting, to tell you the truth. I was single at the time, and at first I thought, well, maybe he thinks I'm pretty. But then I began to think, no, it's not what he's it's not that kind of look. And so some of the ladies there began to notice, and they came up, and they questioned me about it and were clearly very disturbed to find out this had been going on for days. So they told me never to be alone. I said, well, who is this guy? And they said, stay away. He is bad medicine.
Wow.
So, yeah. And they went and they got the tribal elder and the pastor that I was traveling with, and they came and questioned me, and the tribal elder said, we want to assure you, we will keep you safe, and we are going to ban him from coming to any events. Now, this didn't make sense to me. I mean, we were there to bring the good news of the gospel, and it seemed like this kind of intense guy really could use the gospel. So I asked them, please don't do that. And whether or not they honored that promise, I'm not sure, but I never saw him again until it was either the last night or the second to last night that we were there. I had convinced them to let me stay behind because I was writing about our experiences there to send back to the people who had sponsored the trip, and I wanted to write while it was fresh in my heart. And we were staying in, I'll call it the Norman Bates Motel. I mean, this thing was out in the middle of nowhere. There was nothing really redeeming about it. It was an all-gravel parking lot. And even the hotel manager or the motel manager was going to go to this party to celebrate our time there. Well, they finally agreed to let me stay as long as I promised to keep the door locked. That's another problem that I have, locking doors. I don't know why. I've never been able to remember to do that. So it's about 11 o'clock that night, and there's a knock at my door. And I jump up to run open the door so my roommate doesn't realize that it's not locked, because I knew she'd give me a hard time about it. And I fling open the door. And I thought it was strange that I didn't hear the cars coming on that, all that gravel. And there was no one around, but there stood that guy.
Wow.
And I thought, Bethy girl, you have messed up, because there's no one here to help you. And I wedged myself in the door. Now, I know this doesn't make sense, but I wedged myself in the door because I decided whatever he had come to do with me, he was not going to drag me into the room and do it in secret. He was going to have to do it out in public in the parking lot. Somebody asked me one time, why didn't you just shut the door? I don't know. That didn't occur to me. And so he began to pace back and forth and wring his hands. And I thought, well, this must be his first ever assault, because he's not very good at it. He's long, taking way too long. And so finally he looks at me and he says, I'm not supposed to be here. And I said, I know you're not supposed to be here. Why are you here? He says, I've been watching you. I've noticed, I said. It's kind of creepy. Why are you here? And he said, because everywhere you go, there is the biggest spirit of death I have ever seen, and it never leaves you. I am afraid for you. Mm. Now, he may have been a bad medicine, because apparently he was with whatever their form of witch doctor is. But I knew that moment, that's that thing that I have felt around me my whole life. I knew it was true. But my faith, see, I had already figured out that God actually loved me by this time. So I looked at him and I said, what you say is true. I know it is true. But this I also know. Whether I live or whether I die, my God decides, not that spirit of death. I don't care how big he is. My God decides my life. And instead of accosting me, I freaked him out. His eyes got real big, and he's like, oh, you got big medicine. And he ran away. Now, I wished that would have been the end of it, but it wasn't, because I didn't know that I could be free. So the book chronicles how I learned to be free.
I love it. I love it. Well, I have listened to and read about half your book at this point, and I can tell you it's not just good story, and it is that, but you do a number of things in there. You offer a lot of opportunities for people to pray, and there are a variety of different kind of prayers, and it's more about helping people truly. I mean, the subtitle is true. It's helping them move from a life that's far from God, a life that's maybe death centered, to a life-centered life. But there's steps. It's logical, but it's spiritual.
Right.
Things that you do. So tell us about the not just the purpose, but some of the strategies you've used in that, because it's not just a book you're reading. The book kind of reads you.
Right. Right. It's about halfway through the book, I realized no one's going to think this book applies to them. This had become such a reality for me that I had forgotten that it's not something that most people have really considered or thought about. So I get a lot of people tell me, I didn't think the book applied to me. But as I began to read it, I began to realize it did apply to me. And I began to get free of things I didn't know I needed to be free from. And then what's even best is they usually go back and buy a couple of copies for their friends and families. I truly believe the book is anointed. I offer at the end of each chapter three prayer options for people to choose from, because we all come at things from a different place, and I understand that. So some of us may be at a place where we're, heck yeah, I'm all in, let's go. Mm-hmm. But others may be at a place like I was when I was reading Search for Significance, that I want to believe this, but I just can't. Mm-hmm. And so there's no such thing as a magic prayer. Mm-hmm. And my heart was to come up with three prayer options that would meet most people where they are, so that they could start with being genuine before the Lord.
Mm. Well, it's very, very beautiful. And I would encourage you, how do people find your book? What's the easiest place to find you online so people can access this?
You can find it in two places. Okay. The Ubiquitous. Did I say that right? I'm not sure.
The ever-present, all over the place, Amazon.
That's right.
Gotcha.
It is there. You can find it on Goodreads, and then my website, which is www.ezekieltree.com.
Gotcha. And I'll link to that in the show notes for everybody, for sure.
Well, I appreciate you offering words that challenge us to think correctly and to believe what God is wanting us to believe. So in the next 2 minutes, just give us another summary of what you want our listeners to take away from the book and from your heart.
No matter where you are in that journey, whether you think that doesn't apply to you or not, it does. There's something in there for all of us, because there's always more. That's the God we serve. There's always more. And He is willing to go as far as we're willing to go with Him. And so it is my heart that people will read the book and embrace this crazy, abundant, amazing, wild ride of life that God has specifically designed exactly for them to live. And I promise you, you will never be bored, and you will experience joy like you never believed possible.
Mm. And that's what we want. And the invitation, the warning, the dare, the welcome, wander no more. As we lead, as we continue to learn, let's seek to make our next steps the best steps, and let's make the choice to wander no more.
Thanks for joining us on Next Step Leadership, the weekly conversation dedicated to your personal growth and leadership development. Chris and I are so glad you dropped in. You can find us on all your favorite podcast providers. Do us a favor and hit subscribe. And if you really want to help us, give us a rating. We so appreciate your support. Check out our show notes for more information regarding guest contact information. Chris Maxwell's 11th book, Equilibrium, 31 Ways to Stay Balanced on Life's Uneven Surfaces, is available now at www.chrismaxwell.me or Amazon, where you can find all of Chris's previous books as well. Our featured music is by Casual Americans. You can find their new musical releases at www.casualamericans.com or at your favorite music suppliers. We release Next Steps Leadership each Thursday, so join us again next week on the Next Step Journey, a conversation dedicated to helping you make your next step your best step.